Before we get started this morning, Ted, or yeah, I hate to have you get up again. Could you come up here a minute? Come on. Can you come over here a minute, Karen? Hey, Barry, can you come up here a minute real quick? Karen, if you got just, if you don't mind sneaking up here a minute. Come here a minute, guys.
I don't want to miss Kurt.
Do you see how four of us are dressed this morning? My point is, you can be in have a vacation in your heart when you don't have a dime in the bank. Oh, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen.
This morning, I want to turn to Judges. Chapter 2. Begin in verse 1 this morning in Judges chapter 2. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you out of Egypt and led you to the land I had promised to your fathers. I also said, I will never break my covenant with you. You are not to make a covenant with the people who are living in this land. You are to tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? Now I say, I will not drive these people out from among you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will trap you. When the angel of the Lord has spoken these words to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly. So they named that place Bochim, and Ochrah offered sacrifices there to the Lord. Joshua sent the people away, and the Israelites went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people worshiped God throughout Joshua's lifetime and during the lifetimes of the elders who outlived Joshua. They had seen all the Lord's great works he had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. The whole generation was gathered to their ancestors. After them, another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works he had done for Israel. And the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight. And they worshiped the Baals and abandoned the Lord and the God of their fathers who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods from the surrounding peoples, bowed down to them. They infuriated the Lord. For they abandoned him and worshiped Baal in the Ashtoreths. Generational remembrance. What do we see in a generation? I remember a time when I was growing up that everybody's father or grandfather had served in World War II. That was called one of the greatest generations. Then there was a time when many of you may have had fathers or relatives that served in Korea. And following that, they served in Vietnam. And following that, some of you may have had fathers that served in the Middle East, in Kuwait, Afghanistan, Iraq. In between, there are other places, in Serbia where we sent troops. We've been all over the world. Today, war continues. People still live their lives. But I wonder if we will remember those sacrifices and what they're about. You see, I like to take my thoughts all the way back, and no, I'm not this old, but all the way back to the Revolution. We had the French and Indian War. We had the Civil War. And in all those cases, men and women alike, in the earlier wars, more men got up from their meager existence. They packed a little bag, prayed, and I'm sure cried with their families, and walked off to war, leaving behind wives to take care of families, to plant crops, to chop wood, to do what was ever necessary to take care of the family, not knowing when they would ever see their spouse or the father again, or if they would. Unbelievable sacrifice. And why? Why? In some countries, in some places, it's commanded of people, it's ordered of them, they have to do it. We certainly had a draft here for a long time that was enacted, I know, during the Vietnam War. There was a lot, they called it a lottery system. Number came up, you win. But I do know that during the time of the Revolution and the Civil War, and I'm sure in many cases afterwards, World War I and World War II, men literally got up and went. Now, why did they do that? They were defending a country that they believed in its ideals and its purpose. And they knew that it had been fought for initially, that it needed fought for. And afterwards, that it had to be fought for to be kept, to enjoy the freedoms that all of us enjoy so much today. And at the top of that list for me is freedom to worship, freedom of liberty, to be who we want, to do what we want, freedom of family, freedom to go out and decide you're going to be anything that you want and work towards it and do it. You see, they remembered. Initially in the Revolution, they remembered, if they didn't have firsthand knowledge, they remembered the knowledge that came from their parents and their grandparents of how they were denied their religious freedom prior to coming to this country. And they were here, and they weren't going to lose it. They were denied the many liberties that they knew they could now enjoy and knew what was right. And they remembered where they'd come from. After the Revolution, they remembered what was fought for and kept. Many times people come up to the Civil War and they have a stumbling block there. Huge stumbling block. You have the South, which were slave states. You have the North, which were non-slave states. They got in a bit of an argument over expansion. Was the South going to be able to expand any more slave states? They didn't like what was going on in Congress, the direction things were going. There were a lot of people in the North that were very much against slavery. There were a lot of people in the South that were very much against slavery, too. And it came down to an argument of states' rights, something that we have individually by the regions we live in. They wanted to fight for the right to make their own decisions for what they did. Slavery was never right from the very beginning. Although what's very interesting about slavery to me, it's been around since the beginning of man. And it was common practice everywhere. Slavery was common. People were brought to this country for the sole purpose of being used as slaves. And I know that we like to, in our discussion, it always comes back to African-American slavery. But I want to tell you something, Irish slavery was just as brutal, if not worse. It's something that never should have happened, but it was commonplace. And the problem is that when men have something that becomes commonplace in society, they figure out a way to rationalize its goodness. I've heard people say many times, how could those Southerners that call themselves Bible-believing Christians follow the practice of slavery? Because it had been commonplace. I assure you, a lot of them did not approve of slavery. But I'm sure there's some that did, and many that did. Sorry, guys. Allergies are popping up. Anyway, and we think about that. What an atrocity that was okay with Christians. What did Israel do back here? You remember? The battles that Joshua had brought them through in defeating all these nations that could have defeated them easily. But God was with them and God walked with them, and they trusted Joshua as a leader. And all the stories, you see, you remember what it says here? It says, the whole generation was also gathered to their ancestors. After them, another generation rose up. What about that generation before? The people worshiped God throughout Joshua's lifetime and during the lifetime of the elders that outlived Joshua that served with him. The elders were not letting them forget. Christian, we can't let people forget what God has taught us and who we are. Because just like the Israelites, our children will be doomed for despair and destruction. We've come to a point in our country where many people do not recognize or even think about what Memorial Day was about, except for the fact that it's a great time to cook hot dogs and hamburgers and brats. Shirley and I yesterday went to the cemetery of our parents and decorated their graves. Now, you know that I know that that is just their broken body that's there. But I have to tell you something. Even at that, that is a place of remembrance of where their body is put. And I know that one day, that place right there where I stand and look at them is where the Lord God will send his son to come down and resurrect from that spot those bodies to be made whole again in heaven. Isn't that kind of a cool place? I don't go there thinking about, boy, I wonder what it looks like down there now. I go there thinking, what a cool, this is the place that my parents' earthly remains are going to go. There was something I noticed yesterday. Huge cemetery. Two or three, four or five people out doing what we were doing. We noticed that one cemetery, the cemetery had put out porta-johns all over the cemetery for the needs of the people on Memorial Weekend to do this stuff in case they had to use the bathroom. I think they probably could have got away with putting one or two up. My point being that, you know, why are we forgetting those that have come before us? Why is it no longer important? Why is it no longer important? See, I never knew a Civil War soldier. I got to tell you, I never did. When I was a kid, there were some of them, I'm sure, still living. Some just, the last of them didn't die but 20, 30 years ago, I think. Some really old ones. Yeah, whatever. Anyway. I can remember when it was the last ones died and it was on the news and all that. But see, I know about them. And I understand why. Because it was so important from the Revolution all the way up to our recent days. The sacrifice those people made, my word, they sacrificed having the rest of their life with their own families. Never seeing their kids again, and they gladly, but with heavy hearts, you can do that too, marched off to war to protect something so vital. For who? For everyone else. What? You mean I'm going to risk my life for them? Maybe for me, maybe for my family, but for everyone else? What about the guys that marched off to war that had no family? That had no wife, that had no kids? He didn't have anyone to take care of at home. Hey, why should I risk my life? For everyone else. You know, that sounds to me like a character trait. That sounds to me like a character trait that God puts in the heart of a believer. To put others first. Isn't it? I think so. I've talked to many veterans that lived in harm's way. I didn't have many talks with Shirley's dad about his time in Europe, in the trenches, in Northern Africa, in the trenches. Why? Because it really wasn't something he liked to talk about much. But he gladly joined up. It's that sacrifice that we give for other people. Christian, I have to tell you today, we've got to get off this self-centered stuff. It's our only salvation. I'm not talking about redemption. I'm talking about that salvation that comes from recognizing that there's a greater whole around us than me. Why aren't we surrendered to the church, meaning the body of Christ? Why isn't the body of Christ the center of our lives, the center of our family lives? I'm going to pick on Kelly. She shared something this morning that I never knew. Saw it in action, but I never knew exactly why. Kelly was talking about Sunday school when she graduated from high school. I knew that was the time she surrendered her life to the Lord. But she said all of her friends were going out and they were staying out till wee hours of the morning. Everyone she knew, you know how teenagers can be and what they do. And she said at the time, and you know, she and John were both working and planning a future. And she said, you know, we decided that instead of having our old friends and running around and doing all the things they did, which we just quite frankly couldn't do, she said, I made my church family the center of our life. What a novel idea. Kelly, I think it worked out okay for you. I just want you to know that. Point here is that we need to make church our family our center of our lives. We need to make who we are, who we were made to be, the center of our lives. I used to love the fact growing up, and you younger people probably missed a lot of this, and maybe even some of you middle-aged adults missed a lot of this. Growing up, I loved the fact that we always celebrated our veterans and celebrated and talked about the sacrifices of war and the importance of the hard work that went into forming our Constitution and the protections of it and the protection of you. Do you know why you're protected here today in so many areas? Be it your job, be it your all these areas. It's because of our Constitution, and most people have never even read it. And then when people want to change it, they think, well, why not? Maybe it's time to change it. Why? Do you know anything about it? Well, so-and-so says it'd be a good thing. Really? Really? I think it's time we begin to learn who we are. And it's real simple. It's just a document. But then look back and try to understand that document. Do you know why we had slavery during the time of when the Constitution was ratified? Because there was such a fight over slavery that they knew they couldn't get it ratified if they didn't kick the can down the road. And they did that. There was such a fight because there were people that said, there's no way it's right, it should never happen. And there were others that said, we've had slaves for years, we're going to have them, and on that argument went. So they took all the good of the Constitution, all the freedom of religion, everything that we had in the Constitution, and they formed the Constitution, which then was later ratified, and they kicked the can of slavery down the road. But you know what's really cool about even that? Anybody know, when was our Constitution ratified? What?
I'm not sure. 1787?
Yeah. 1780s. When was the Civil War? 1860s. So, roughly 80 years, less than 80 years, after our Constitution was ratified, this country abolished slavery. Now, everyone wants to tell us to feel so guilty about the slavery issue. Never in history did a country abolish slavery so fast. It took us only 80 years, less than 80 years, to take something that divided the whole country and was relatively commonplace in the entire world and abolish it. See, to me, that's something to be proud of, not something we should keep paying for. And we gave those people the same rights, although I will admit some of them took a while longer, completely. But not everywhere, not in all cases. You know, we have a tendency to take the bad in the world and celebrate it and lift it to the surface. There's so much good. I've heard people tell that George Washington was a slave owner, and we know that he was. Does anyone know the true story behind he and his slavery? Do you, Josh?
Yeah.
What was it? And he educated them, taught them to read and write, which was illegal. I think he did that behind the scenes. You know something else he did? He made sure they knew who Jesus Christ was. What do you think of that? That horrible slave owner, George Washington. My, how we twist history, don't we? I'm going to tell you something, folks. We got a country to be proud of. But just like those Israelites that had a heritage to be proud of, had seen God's mighty work in hand in where they were, finally in the promised land in Canaan, and they forgot. And when they forgot, they turned. When they returned, they became evil and worshiped false gods. Along came the human sacrifices, sacrificing babies on altars. That's what they did. I could draw some similarities, could any of you? I want to tell you today something, Christian. It's time we wake up. It's time that we decide my kids, my family, are going to know the truth. We have been granted unbelievable grace and mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ in this country. Unbelievable. No country has ever been this free. No country has had this freedom to worship. No country has had the freedom to do what we do in this country again. But you know what? We can lose it. We're losing it bit by bit daily. And everyone's just sitting back. I think that as long as people have a little money to do what they want to do and some extra money for a little vacation or playtime here and there, they think it's just going to go on and on and on. They're always going to be able to walk into a church. Do you really want a desire to go to church? Take it away. People never think of their freedoms till they're lost. Do you want to educate your children to know the Lord as Lord and Savior? Take it away. Would you like to sit and open your Bible at any time and read it and read of the wondrous things of God? Take it away. You know, there's movements right now in this country to have this book, God's word, deemed a hate book and have it taken away. While we enjoy, certainly not us, I would hope, every bit of filth and pornography out there there can be. Right? Went through the school library one day. They don't have any books there anymore. But they do have a machine with a screen that you can look up books that you can pull up and do electronically. You know, read a book. I've never read a book electronically. I never desire to. I like to fold my pages and lay it down and pick it back up and read again. So you can trust, I will never read an electronic book in my life. Guaranteed it ain't going to happen. But I start pulling up books and what do I see? Can I find anything about Jesus? Anything about any apostles or disciples or anything which made the largest impact on our history that anything ever has? And I'm talking about the world history. You can't find it. It doesn't exist. But if I want to look up witches and warlocks and casting spells, it's right there. I saw an advertisement on TV this weekend of something going on in Columbus. I forget what it was. But they had some neat kids' classes going on there. And one of them was to teach kids. They were going to teach kids how to cast spells. Isn't that a magical place where they can learn how to cast a spell? Isn't that wonderful? Now, I ask you, Christian, with those two things being so diametrically opposed to one another, the Lord and what's going on in the world, are we actively remembering the truth and passing it on? I pray that many of you are. But we have a lot of work to do. An unbelievable amount of work to do. I went to a graduation. I'm going to close with this. I went to a graduation yesterday morning. And it was Lauren's graduation. Right, Lauren? Congratulations on your graduation. Huh? No, it wasn't. Guys, I'm messing with you. I hadn't got there yet. Where is Dorian? He's sleeping. Good for him. Good for him. You know, I tell you something, and I was going to get to Dorian in a second. I went to Lauren's graduation. Dorian's, and Sarah's, and Harrison's, and Caitlin's, and about how many others? How many of you graduated? Huh? 89. I've got to tell you something. A huge percentage of those young people that graduated yesterday came from families that have taught them the truth, that had shared the love of Christ with them, that had brought them up in church. How do we get them plugged in? I'm asking us older people, how do we get them plugged into the truth and history so that they become and understand and see the importance of not letting the past be forgotten? Times have changed so much. Ask any clean out guy that cleans out a property where people have been evicted. Boxes of family pictures left behind. People will pass away and the kids come in and just take this junk and get it out of here. I don't need any of it. Oh, we'd fight over when I was a kid. People died. What do you mean? I don't want those pictures anymore. We need to respect and love and share. It starts with us when we can't reach everyone, with bringing those young people and those kids into our church. I saw some kids graduate yesterday that used to come to Awana, little tiny rascals. And then they came sometimes to the youth center and back to Awana. And then a lot of them left. A lot of family pull, but a lot of them left and stopped going to church. But I said yesterday, I don't remember whether it was to someone in my family, I said, you know, that impact of that short time, look how great of kids they turned out to be. Maybe it had nothing to do with what was done here, but I would say not. The impact of those lessons taught to those kids that they didn't forget. They might have thought they forgot them, but they're in here somewhere. It helped form who they are. Christian, I want to tell you something. We have got a past to be very proud of. And I challenge you to not only not forget it, but to remind other people of it and to teach it diligently, like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, to teach these things of God diligently to our children. And they're coming in and they're going out on their doorposts. I mean, literally, let's not forget those who went before us and gave a sacrifice. There are young men that lay dying on a battlefield in great pain, knowing they'd never see their children or their wives again, knowing that what they did is one of the reasons you're sitting here today, and praying that that would continue. Isn't that amazing? It is to me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for all that you give us, for all that you graciously give us each and every day. Lord, let us not forget the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, the amazing gift that you gave us in him, that he sacrificed it all for us. And the many that have gone before and sacrificed for us, Lord, I let us be willing to take a little bit of that courage and sacrifice for those that come after us. Lord, let us take ourselves off the pinnacle for a while and get down in the trenches. I thank you for your love for this day and for each and every wonderful Christian here that you've given us to work together. Lord, we just can't thank you enough. Lord, give us that thankful heart. In your precious name, amen.